You're listening to Work Tape, episode 173.
Welcome to this edition of the Work Tape podcast. It's your boy, Mighty Mitchell, Isaac Groven-Grover, as always.
And welcome to the Grammys talk.
Yes, as we hinted in our last episode, which we covered the passing of Quincy Jones, who actually won quite a few Grammys himself in his long-standing music career. We then also segued into the Grammy nominations, which just came out literally on, we're recording this Saturday. It came out literally yesterday. I think it was like Friday morning they dropped the Grammy nominations. And we definitely have some thoughts. We'll kind of start with the big categories here. Of course, the most prestigious album of the year. And you have quite an interesting mix here. You have Chappell Roan, Taylor Swift, Billie Eilish, Charlie XCX, Sabrina Carpenter, and Beyonce all up for album of the year. Some early predictions are coming out and are saying that Beyonce has a really good shot of taking it this year, just because she kind of got robbed. A lot of people thought she got robbed for Renaissance, which then it went to Taylor's record, which I think was Midnight's.
And the record for the most nominations, right?
Yeah, she has 11 as of right now. And I think that record has not been surpassed. I think the original holder of that record is Michael Jackson, actually, for Thriller.
Wow.
The last person who came close to surpassing the record was Kendrick Lamar, who is also nominated this year for some Grammys. He had, I think, 11 nominations for To Pimp a Butterfly as well. Didn't quite surpass over into 12. But a lot of people are saying that Beyonce is going to take it, just with Cowboy Carter and how big some of those songs were, just the overall cohesiveness of the album. As you were kind of talking about, Isaac, you feel like this is one of the more cohesive albums on this list, because the other albums that it's going against are Short and Sweet by Sabrina, which in its own right does have some of the biggest songs of the year, with Espresso, Bed Chem, and Please, 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 although for the debut to win Album of the Year would kind of be a major upset. And then I just don't think that the Taylor record is really strong enough to take it this year.
No, I don't think so at all. I think you know, it's hard because I like Hit Me Hard, but it's sometimes I feel like an album that we just have like an emotion to already before it comes out. And we're like, oh, this is so cool. And even stylistically, Hit Me Hard, I think it satiates my cravings more than other albums on this list. To be fair, I mean, Brat was pretty lauded and I listened to quite a bit and it was pretty good. So I feel like Brat might actually be that record, to be honest. I think Cowboy should definitely get it over Tortured Poets and Jesse for sure. Yeah, no.
Oh, yeah. Jesse, I feel like, is kind of a little bit of like the critic's pick in a way. Mm-hmm. Because Jacob Collier from the get-go has always been kind of like a darling with some of the people on the board, just because he's, you know, kind of experimental and has all of these different, you know, influences in his music. But I've listened to that record too, and that's a mess, to be honest. It doesn't flow in the way that it needs to.
No.
Chappell Roan with Rise and Fall. I mean, Chappell Roan's had an incredible year this year. I do think that she's going to walk away with something.
Right, but you don't think it's going to be album.
I just don't think it's going to be album of the year.
I think it might be Brat, to be honest. I don't think it's Short and Sweet.
You think Brat's going to win album of the year?
I think it is. Something, I don't know. My money's on it, to be honest.
In a way, I don't disagree with you, because Brat
it's
was
definitely one of the stronger ones here.
Well, yeah, definitely from a like purely musical perspective, yeah, it's definitely, it kind of strikes, I think, the right balance of something that's experimental and something that is mainstream. And of course, you have the power of all the memes and stuff, like with the Brat Summer and all of that.
I also have a twisted theory. I feel like based on track record and just history alone, if Beyonce continues to get snubbed, it's going to Brat.
Yeah, that's true.
Unfortunately.
That is true. If it's not going to be Beyonce, it'll probably be Brat. I mean, as we were talking about yesterday, the real Grammys move would be if you gave it to Andre.
Yes, and I was going to say that too.
that would be the real Grammys move, to give it to this experimental instrumental jazz flute album. That
oh my goodness, that would be I would be mad. I would be so entertained by that.
That would be hilarious. And the internet would go insane, and everybody would go back to that that Key and Peele sketch all those years ago about if Big Boy and Andre met up again, and Andre's got like the flute and the full like Peter Pan type getup, and he's
on a flip side, if Tortured wins, I'm gonna lose it.
Yeah, I can't stand to see Taylor win another Album of the Year Grammy. It's becoming to a point with Taylor Swift where it's almost like Adele in that way, where if they put out a record, you can kind of like, you're almost dread to be nominated the same year that they are, because you're like, ugh, like there's probably a good chance that it's going to go there, because they're both like darlings too in the industry as well. And honestly, I think on both of the releases from Taylor and Adele, respectively, with Tortured Poets from Taylor and then I think it was like 30 from Adele, which surprisingly didn't win that many Grammys at all. And I guess rightfully so, because I found both of the albums to be a bit boring and a bit underwhelming, especially more so the Adele than the Taylor, to be honest, but they were both underwhelming. And then I don't think Eilish is going to take it either.
I don't think for album, for sure, no.
Maybe for record.
I was thinking about maybe Song of the Year, but yeah, record, which, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, either one. I mean, Song of the Year or Record of the Year.
Right.
With Birds of a Feather, because that is a strong, strong single.
I really like that one too. I really do. That was a good pick. And I agree with you on the album. I thought it was pretty nice. There was like that indie charm that Billy always brings to the table with Phineas.
Yeah.
And I appreciated it, but I just don't see it winning album.
Yeah. But definitely maybe a strong contender for Song of the Year or Record of the Year, which also, this is an interesting category, as we were talking about before we started recording. The Beatles, 5 or 6 decades later, have a nomination for Record of the Year with Now and Then, which, as you were saying even before we started recording, is a very kind of surreal thing to think about.
It's surreal, but realistically an underwhelming track.
Yeah, very much.
It's almost like emotional. It's like, oh, it's a legacy act, you know, and half of them are gone. You know, there's like this kind of appeal to that. But realistically, it's lackluster, you know?
Very much so.
It's not a bad track, but it's not great.
Very much on the novelty of this undiscovered or previously unreleased Beatles song.
Right. But it is poetic that it's on a 2025 Grammys.
It is. And then, of course, you have Kendrick with his Not Like Us track.
Very poetic, indeed.
Making up for record and song of the year. Honestly, he might take one of those, to be honest.
Yeah.
He just might, because of how big of a song that was in terms of kind of really sinking Drake's career in a big way, and having that be kind of a big cultural touchstone of 2024, and, you know, having, you know, clubs and bars and even family get-togethers where everybody's singing out about striking chords and they're probably A minor.
I hope that Not Like Us gets it, and my secondary is Birds of a Feather.
Really? So you'd say those two even over The Espresso or over
Chapel? And absolutely over Texas Hold'em. Over all of these, those are my two.
Yeah, I mean, actually, Espresso was kind of a really good summer song, but I think that it got a bit played out.
Mm-hmm.
same thing with the Song of the Year category, because of course Chapel and Sabrina, Taylor, Billy, Beyonce are all under that category too. Same thing with like Sabrina's Please, Please, Please. I didn't really like that song to begin with.
Same.
I thought it was a massive Kacey Musgraves ripoff.
Yeah.
Even just in the way that her inflection was and how she was singing it. It felt like a song that should have gone to Kacey Musgraves, but didn't. And then the Taylor Post collab, no, that's kind of a bore fest.
And kind of a corny theory, you know, it's just corny, in my opinion, the fact that they even tried. Now, even the title's terrible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Fortnite, but spelled night as N-I-G-H. Yeah, it's kind of pretentious a little bit. Yeah, it's just about as bad as the lyric that was on the Tortured Poets album about her touching the guy while he was playing GTA or something. And then some people that we're not going to mention by name on this podcast have said, oh, look at the good lyric that's on this album. And I'm like, good lyric? Where?
Where?
And then you have Shaboozy with a bar song, which kind of plays into that Texas Hold'em kind of country novelty type of thing.
Yeah, it's country novelty for sure.
And then you have the Lady Gaga Bruno collab, which Bruno is an award darling himself. And so there's, you know, that creates an interesting category. But honestly, as much as I do like that song, and I do, I think that the hook is catchy. There's great vocal performances on it from Gaga and Bruno. I don't think it's strong enough. It's not like a Leave the Door Open that kind of like took the world by storm and eventually swept everything. So interesting enough, some of the big pushback that I've heard recently after these announcements was the lack of Ariana Grande nominations. She's nominated in a few categories, like the Pop Vocal Album. I think she's nominated in some of the dance categories too, but many people were calling snub in terms of Song of the Year, Record of the Year, Album of the Year, which I didn't really listen to that much of Eternal Sunshine. I mean, I know that like Yes And was a big song for a while. From what I heard of the Ariana album, though, I don't think it was her strongest offering. So for her to be left off of some of the major categories isn't really that surprising to me, because it's not like a Thank You Next or a Sweetener or something where I felt like those had a lot more to offer, like in turn, like especially Thank You Next, I think was kind of like her pinnacle. Hmm.
No, I mean, I kind of agree. I'm not really the biggest fan of hers, but I think the lack of her is not unwarranted. I think it's pretty appropriate, to be honest. I mean, she's already in like two or three of these.
Yeah. And what's really interesting about some of the Chapel Row nominations in like the individual like song and record of the year, no Hot to Go. They went with Good Luck, Babe.
I did notice that. Yeah, they did not do Hot to Go. I thought that was fascinating as well.
Or Pink Pony Club. I would have figured that it would have been one of those two, because I feel like those were kind of more of the, not to say that Good Luck, Babe is a bad track.
Pink Pony was pretty big.
Pink Pony was big, and I think Hot to Go was big too, mostly because the memes. You know, everybody was always, she plays Hot to Go.
This generation's YMCA.
Yeah, I believe she plays Hot to Go. This is a Deftones concert, you know, or whatever. Anyways, Pop Vocal Album. Actually, Sabrina might take this one or Chapel, I think. This is an area where I think it'll either be Sabrina or Chapel. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Best New Artist as well. I think that it's either going to go Sabrina or Chapel. Although to see Teddy Swims in here is great. I think that he's doing some cool R&B. Karangbin, I've always liked Karangbin. Dochi has some really good quality hip hop. And then Benson Boone, besides just the one song, not really, no. There's kind of the one song and that's it, really. Which, you know, has some great vocal work, but is overall kind of predictable, I guess.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But I think for best new artist, it could be Sabrina or Chapel Roan. And, you know, there is that superstition about if somebody wins best new artist, how it kind of tanks their career. And so some people don't even necessarily want to win best new artist. I don't think there's enough evidence to support it personally, because some people who have won it have gone on to do really good things, but it'll be interesting to see who takes it. Like I said, it's got to be either Chapel or
Sabrina. Yeah. I don't see it for Kuangbin either, or anyone else.
Yeah, it's got to be one of those two. I would, if I was going to put money on it, I'd Chapel. Probably say Sabrina.
Really? Okay, because I'm thinking Sabrina, but I'm like, oh, I think it's going to be Chapel, though.
I would say Sabrina, just because as commercially viable as Chapel is, she's not as like full-on mainstream pop diva as Sabrina is.
Like, she's more niche-y, huh? Because Sabrina feels more familiar, right?
Yeah.
And do you think that familiarity is going to be Sabrina's strength?
Yes. And I think the fact that she's tied directly to Taylor Swift and a lot of that fan base is also going to help too. Because really with Sabrina, she didn't really get put on until she opened for Taylor on the Eras Tour. That was where a lot of the clout and a lot of the attention came to. And I guess same thing with Chapel, because I guess Chapel actually opened for Olivia Rodrigo.
I mean, Chapel has gotten crazy PR, so.
Yeah, which actually, that's the funny thing, is that there's not really a lot of, or I guess Olivia Rodrigo was last time around, huh?
I think so.
Yeah, I was going to say there's not a lot of Olivia in here at all, but maybe time has flown so much that I'm like, yeah. The R&B category, for best R&B song, it's probably going to be SZA or Tems. I think just when that side of things. Here's an interesting one, country album. So you have Kacey Musgraves in here. You have Chris Stapleton. You have Lainey Wilson. Then you have Beyonce and Post Malone.
F1 Trillion?
Yes. Post Malone's F1 Trillion and Cowboy Carter is in here as well for Beyonce. Now, here's the thing. The Post Malone one being in the country album, yeah, I can get behind that. The Cowboy Carter, no. That's a little bit of a harder sell for me. In terms of album of the year, all these other ones, yes. I don't think the album was country enough, though, to be in the country album category.
I agree with you. And I don't believe that it should go to her for a country. But album of the year would be kind of endearing because, you know, she's snubbed all the time.
Yeah, she's been, you know, at least from the general consensus is that she's been robbed multiple times for Renaissance, her self-titled, Lemonade, and I think even Sasha Fierce was nominated too. And I think it may have gone to somebody else at that time. So yeah, I do think it would be a rewarding thing. Although there is kind of some speculation about Beyonce's potential ties to Diddy right now, that might kind of make that a little less sweet with kind of her and Jay's ties potentially. Nothing's proven yet, but there is some suspicion that she has more of a role than even people would think. So I don't know. We'll see how that all goes down. A lot of the same things with pop solo performance. You have Charlie, Billy, Chapel, Sabrina, Beyonce. It could really go to either one of them. In terms of the songs on here, I think if you're going just off of pure performance, it's probably going to be like a Chapel or...
Yeah, Chapel's kind of the showwoman.
Yeah. She has like all the theatrics, so there's a good chance that Chapel will take that category.
So what about for a rock song and rock album, which I don't really think is very interesting, to be honest. I do like Idols. I mean, Idols is the young blood here. Green Day's old. Pearl Jam is old. St. Vincent is the getting
Rolling
there.
Stones, my gosh.
Yeah, no. No.
And then Fontaine's, Fontaine's DC, I think Idols would be.
I just hope that Idols takes it. I know Fontaine's is there, but I like what Idols has done. So
yeah, Fontaine Yeah, Fontaines wouldn't be bad either.
No, they're not bad, but either of those two. No Green Day, no Rolling Stones, no Jack White, man.
No.
Now Pearl Jam's Dark Matter was actually pretty good from a song standpoint. I did find that pretty good.
Yeah.
And you know I'm not really a big fan of PJ, but Dark Matter was a great song.
Yeah.
But I'm tired of these legacy artists. Like, I don't like it's not the legacy artists that I don't like. It's the lack of new blood that bothers me for rock.
Right. Right. Exactly. It's people who have been in the game for a super long time. Funny enough, the Beatles are also under rock.
Yeah.
Which in terms of if they're actually going to do that as a performance at the Grammy, what are you going to do? A Tupac hologram situation where you're going to get, you know, John Lennon to come out and sing? Like, no.
Now, interestingly, you do have a Cage the Elephant, which is kind of in that more St. Vincent category, kind of like last decade's rock artists. Yeah. You got Neon Pill. And then you also have a Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, Song of the Lake. But Fontaines D.C., Starburst are so... Oh, and Kim Gordon from Sonic Youth.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot about her.
Yeah, but I just to kind of like go in on the same point that you're making. There is a severe lack of...
new blood.
Mm-hmm. Newer, yeah, right.
I will say Claro, or is it, I forgot if it's Claro. Is it Claro or Claro?
Claro, yeah.
Claro with Charm. She's all right. I know there are those industry plant criticisms, and I guess I don't really care at this point. I like her. I'm not crazy about her, but I like her. So
yeah, I'd be fine with her taking that, actually.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with Charm taking it. Juno was a big song off of there. She definitely plays to that alternative audience quite a bit.
I think I would take Claro because I think Brittany Howard's from Alabama Shakes, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. And then Kim Gordon's from Sonic. So I'd probably take Claro with this one.
Yeah, there's a lot of legacy acts in here too. And you also have Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds too.
Yes, you do.
So,
which they're great, but more legacy.
Yeah, exactly. And that is a real thing in terms of there's not really a lot of freshness in the rock categories.
I think that's why rock has been struggling for so long, because it's always legacy artists and it's a shame.
Right. And then you do have, you know, artists who are doing kind of a rock thing, like, you know, McGee, which he doesn't have any nominations in here at all, which I'm not sure if that's because he's so new that they didn't have time to nominate him this year, or if they just glanced over him in terms of things. I would hope that it was to do with the eligibility period, like just not submitting the music in time to be considered.
Oh yeah, like missing the window?
Yeah, but I think his album came out early 2024, which I think you would have still been in the submission window, because I think the submission window was from the end of 23 to like the middle of 24. So the fact that he didn't get nominated for anything, I mean, granted, I understand that he's not the mainstream type of appeal as some of these folks, but mm-hmm. I mean, the man is playing SNL, so he's clearly big enough, you know, not just anybody gets to play, you know, Saturday Night Live, you know, so that's just a little bit interesting to me, because I do think that, not to sound like, you know, a total stan or to have so much glazing going on, but I do think McGee is one of the more interesting artists in music right now, because he has a blend of like kind of like Sting, the Police, and some people are even citing Prince influences in the music, which there is some of that as well, with more of like his drum machine work. But then he also has a really cool guitar sound. Like even Eric Clapton came out and said that he hadn't felt as excited about somebody's music since Prince when he was talking about McGee. So it's a little bit weird that they kind of just like said, nah, like we're not taking you this time, especially because he could have been more of like that fresh blood in there that you're talking about. While he's not explicitly a rock artist, he does have some rock influence for sure. And he is a guitar player, you know, so He's actually really cool because he has kind of like the baritone guitar thing going on. So he has like the darker sounding guitar,
which is not very common nowadays.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool, actually. The R&B category was kind of underwhelming to me this year. You do have Lucky Day, who's nominated, who I think is great. For whatever reason, they keep nominating Chris Brown for R&B awards, which I'm like, no, just stop. Because personal biases against Chris Brown aside, I don't think that his music has been exciting for like 10 years. So I'm just like, no, I can hard pass on that. I do think Lucky Day is great, though. And then I really want to quickly talk about the dance categories, because there's some interesting things in here. K-Tronada is up for some Grammys, which I think is definitely the right call. I would really like to see K-Tronada take that, actually, for Timeless.
Same here. I like him quite a bit.
I think that was good. He's also up for a Grammy for his recording, I think, Witchy with Childish Gambino off of Timeless, which I think was also good. Gambino is only up for one, which was the Bando Stone, but that was kind of an underwhelming record, especially for it to be the last of Gambino records. I was severely disappointed. And then you have Disclosure in here, who's also cool. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard much from them in a long time, though.
It's been a while. These guys had not, they kind of like had their moment and then would, you know, get buried by everyone's attention. And then here they kind of peek their head again.
Yeah. And I think with Disclosure, if I recall, of course, they had, you know, Latch and some of the other big songs of that time. Well, their collaborations with Sam Smith were really like
they never had sustained press.
Yeah. And I think they also went like a little more behind the scenes, like they were producing more.
Exactly. Yes.
Because I think they did produce Talk by Khalid, which I didn't know that they produced that song, but it makes sense because that's one of the only Khalid songs I really like.
Oh, speaking of producers, Ian Fitchuk, he did Deeper Well with Casey Musgraves. And he did Don't Forget Me with Maggie Rogers.
Yep.
And I think he did some stuff with the Bob Marley movie or One Love. So with Leon Bridges and Casey Musgraves, right. Yeah. So he's kind of working with the artists that I typically listen to.
Yeah. Although, you know, me and my R&B bias, I'm going to go for D. Millie.
yeah.
With Bruno and Lucky Day. That's kind of where I'm feeling. I think D. Millie, some people have actually called D. Millie the modern Quincy Jones. Actually,
I think that he's going to get it, but I like Ian. Like, that's kind of near and dear to my heart, the music that he produces.
I mean, it'd be really something if DJ Mustard wins producer of the year for
Well, he could win it just because of Not Like Us, but I'm just kind of being cheeky.
And then Daniel Nero with that's Olivia's person, right? So
mm-hmm. Yeah, Daniel could get it just because of Olivia and Chapel alone. So
he did Chapel's record too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Rise and Fall, he did that.
Wow, I didn't know that at all. That's wow. I guess I gotta look into the credentials a little bit more.
So he could steal it just from those two alone.
Yeah, that actually makes perfect sense though. Now that I think about that, because Chapel opening for Olivia Rodrigo on her tour. And then if he produced both of their albums, both of the albums kind of have a similar sound, actually, in that kind of like pop rock kind of feel. Although Chapel's going more of like the 80s camp and throwing it back to artists like, I guess, like maybe Madonna or like Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, yeah. Cyndi for sure. Yeah.
And then Olivia's going more of the pop punk route, like a Paramore or an Avril Lavigne. And actually, I think that if at least Olivia continues on the trajectory that she's on, she'll be basically like a pop punk or rock Taylor Swift is basically what she's kind of shaping up to be.
I think it's going to be Daniel or DeMille.
Yeah, I think it's got to be one of those two.
I almost want to lean toward Daniel just because Chapel's kind of on Chapel top.
Rome, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a big one for sure.
I still love Ian.
Yeah, of course. And like I said, I'm always gonna have a soft spot for DeMille as well. just because his work with Bruno and Lucky Day and Anderson .Paak and all that. And I do think that he does have a lot of similarities to Quincy in his production, just from hearing a lot of it. But if he would have won Producer of the Year, it would have been for the Silk Sonic record 2 years ago. And I don't think he got it. So
no, he did not.
That would have been his moment to get it for sure. And so it's good to see him still up for it in this go around, having some R&B representation in there, and I guess some quality R&B representation in there, just because, like I said, you look at the rest of the R&B category, it's like Usher, who's a legacy act, and his stuff is sour from the Diddy stuff. Chris Brown, ugh. and then Money Long's good. Lucky Day is good. But then like Layla Hathaway is also like a legacy act. So it's like, yeah, not really as much. But yeah, I think that'll just about conclude it for this episode and our takes on the Grammys nominations. And we'll have to do a follow-up definitely once the Grammys happen and see how much of this our takes are going to be correct versus not. Worktape Podcast, Money Mitchell, Isaac and Grover. Be good to one another and peace.
And stay safe out there. Peace.
Yes.